Well, at this point, I would just like you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, please. Just going to have a short reading from this chapter of God's Word. Ezekiel chapter 18. And we'll commence at verse number 20. And we'll read down to verse 23. So Ezekiel chapter 18, commencing to read at verse number 20. And the Word of God says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" Amen. And we trust that God will bless this reading from his word to our hearts this evening. Amen. Please join with me as we seek the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for his blessing upon his word tonight. Our loving Father and eternal God, we thank thee for this meeting. We thank thee, O God, for the opportunity that we have to come around the word of life once again. We thank thee, O God, for every head bowed in thy presence and every home and family represented. Lord, we pray that as our faces differ, so do our needs. And we pray that, Lord, thou wouldst be pleased to meet every one of us at the point of their need. We thank, Lord, of those especially tonight that mourn, comfort and sustain. Touch those, Lord, we pray, that are sick and laid aside. Lord, most of all, glorify thy great name tonight in bringing precious souls unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that's our heart's desire and prayer to thee, O God, that sinners would be saved, that backsliders would be restored, and, O God, that thy people would be built up in their most holy faith. Lord, I pray that, Lord, thou wouldst help me because I am not worthy for this task, and Lord, I have not the ability in and of myself. But Lord, I praise thee that my sufficiency is of God and not of myself. And to that end, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the very uttermost. I take, thank God, thou dost undertake for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Well, from our reading in Ezekiel chapter 18 tonight, I simply want to bring a message to you on a sinner's need for self-examination. A sinner's need for self-examination. Because we have read in these verses some very startling and sobering things. And in thinking about the sinner's need for self-examination, you know, it's a good thing for us at times in our lives to examine our own hearts, to examine where we are, and most importantly tonight, if you are not a Christian, that you would examine your standing before the Lord tonight, thinking of spiritual self-examination. Now, and perhaps in the sphere of work, we would carry out a self-examination. I remember whenever I was working on different sites, and there would be a safety sign giving you all the warnings and the hazards, and whenever you looked through that sign or you read through the document, you would have to sign it to confirm that you were aware of the risks that were involved in you entering that site. You had to be clothed with the correct personal protective equipment to keep you as safe as possible from danger. And also, whenever we feel unwell, well, we need to examine ourselves as well. We need to get ourselves to the doctor to make sure that all is well. But I want us to think about the spiritual tonight, and that's why we're here. We're here to deal with the matters of the soul, and especially tonight, if you're not saved, you need to listen to what God has to say in His Word. And I want you, if you're not a Christian tonight, or perhaps you're far from God, you're backslidden in heart, and even for us as believers, that we would examine where our hearts are with the Lord. But my first thought I want to leave with you tonight is the warning to the sinner. There is a warning to the sinner. Notice there in verse 20 what it says. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now that warning is one which we are all very well familiar with. There is a graveyard at the site of this church. There is a place of burial in the town. We have heard of families that have been bereaved in recent days and weeks. And this is because, as the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we all know very well that death will come to each and every one of us. But why is that so? Why does death come to a soul? Well, I want us to think about the basis of this warning. Because Ezekiel, the man of God, he tells us very clearly and plainly, it is because of sin. He said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Thinking about the basis of this warning, we know that sin is the separation between man and God. Sin is the breaking of God's law. Anything that we think or we say or we do that breaks God's law, that is sin. And every one of us are guilty of that tonight. We think about Adam in the Garden of Eden and how God placed Adam in the garden and gave him everything he needed. And he only had one simple command to obey, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But in an unexplainable mystery, which the natural man cannot plumb the depths of, Adam disobeyed God. Adam rebelled against his God. And so death came into the world. Sin came into the world. And you know that death, it is a curse of the broken law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And what we have read here, this warning that Ezekiel gives, we also read that at the end of verse number 4. Because if you look with me there, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And that's a warning which ought to grip your heart tonight if you're not a Christian. I know that you would seriously consider the fact that one day you will have to die. One day I am going to have to die. But the great question is, where will you be in eternity? Where will your soul be, friend? Will your soul be with Christ, which is far better, or will your soul be out in hell? Where will it be? Here Ezekiel, he says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And in referencing the soul there, he indicates someone who has been made in the image of God. And we have all been made in the image of God. Although not every one of us are children of God tonight. You know, some would teach that every person born into this world are children of God, and that they're automatically set for heaven. But yet that's not the teaching of God's word. The Bible tells us, as you very well know, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Doesn't matter whether you're a Protestant, a Roman Catholic, a Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Jew, or any other religion. We are all born into this world as sinners, condemned before a holy, righteous, and just God. And we must heed this warning. You must heed this warning if you are not saved. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Oh, I pray that if you're not saved, the Lord would burn those words upon your heart. That would cause you to be disturbed. Because we're living in days where people do not seem to be disturbed. We look out on society and we see a society which is taking pleasure in sin. Doesn't matter, they don't care what way they're living. If it offends God or if it offends or goes against the word of God, they don't seem to care. And oh, that the Lord would come and bring conviction of sin to your hearts tonight. And whenever you think about this warning, you must heed this warning. That's why whenever you go to operate a piece of equipment or a power tool, there'll be safety instructions on how you are to correctly use that tool or use that piece of equipment. There is instructions on how you are to use different chemicals. And if you do not follow the instructions, you will cause injury to yourself. But who is to blame? It is the person who has ignored the warnings. It's the person who has not read the instructions. And so many want to live life and they ignore the warnings from God's word. And what a warning this is, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This isn't something which is unavoidable. You can't avoid this. None of us can avoid this. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We see not only the basis of this warning, but we see here the result of sin. Because we see here that it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And of course, death, it is the result of sin. Now, is death annihilation? Whenever you die, is that it? You cease to exist. They bury your body and then that's it. It's all over. Are we really people who will experience something that's called annihilation? Well, the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God says that we are made in the image of God. When God formed man from the dust of the ground, the Lord breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And while we have been created, we will never cease to exist. Our soul will always exist. And there's no such thing as annihilation. You often hear people scoff at it. They say, when I die and they bury me, that's it. That's not true. And don't you kid yourself, my friend, thinking about that. Because it is God's word you need to heed. You need to listen to the word of God faithfully preached. Don't be listening to your friends who will laugh you into hell, but won't laugh you out of it. We know very well the account from Luke chapter 16. And the Lord Jesus Christ told a parable about two men, Lazarus and the rich man. And if annihilation was true, well then Luke 16 would be false, but it's not. And those two men, after they died, they went into eternity. Lazarus went to be in Abraham's bosom, where he was comforted. But the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, in torments. And we know that he didn't go to hell because he was a rich man. Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was a poor man. But the difference was Lazarus knew the Lord. The Lord Jesus identified him and addressed him as Lazarus in that parable. But he didn't address the rich man by his name in the parable because the rich man did not know the Savior. And where was the rich man? A Christ rejecter ended up in hell, where he was in torments. And still tonight he cries for one drop of water to cool his tongue because he's tormented in the flame. Well, we have to die someday. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 tells us very clearly, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's not many different races tonight, but there is only one human race. And every one of us have come from Adam and from Eve. And because Adam was our first father in an earthly sense, because he was our representative in the Garden of Eden, and since he disobeyed and rebelled against God and brought death and sin into the world, so death and sin has passed upon all of us who are his posterity. All of us who have come from Adam. And that is why we have to die. And yet for the Christian, death is not something to be feared. Christian, it's not something for you or I to fear. Even though we do not know the day or the hour, we know that it will be for us, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And thank God that is the Christian's hope, because we are in Christ, because Christ is our Lord and our Saviour. As I said, sin, it separates us from God. And sinner, your sin is separating you from God. And that sin will take you to hell if it's not covered by the blood of Christ. Thank God there is a covering for sin tonight. Thank God there is hope in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, that you would heed this warning, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But also that not only is there the warning, but there is the instruction for the sinner. Look with me to verse number 20 again. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And here we have a very clear and simple instruction for the sinner. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and not die. You know, the Bible is full of buts. And what a but we have here. Considering that we have thought about the warning, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins. And what a but this is here. Speaking of a change, speaking of a different direction. And here we see it is an instruction for the sinner, very simply, to repent. And you are to repent. There's no salvation without repentance. And here we see that Ezekiel, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins. My friend, tonight that is very simply repentance. And that is, in the most basic sense, to turn away from sin. To turn from going in one direction and go in the opposite direction from the way in which you were going. And the word of God says here, but if the wicked. Who is the Lord referring to here? Who are these people here whom he describes as wicked? They are those that who are morally wrong. Signifies somebody who is an actively bad person, who is condemned and guilty before God. And before I was a Christian, before I was saved, that was me. I was wicked. Christian, before you were saved, that's what you were. You were wicked. And sinner, that's what you are. Because that's what God's word says about you. As somebody who is living your life against God, living your life for self and for sin, the Bible describes you as somebody who is wicked. Somebody who is worthy of judgment and unworthy of God's grace and his mercy. Oh, but yet God tonight, he is merciful and he is gracious in giving sinners the space to repent from their sins. Oh, that you would turn away from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is to the Lord you must repent. It is the Lord who is offended by your sins. It is the Lord who is offended by my sin. But thank God, the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But not only is there an instruction to repent, but the sinner is instructed to keep, because it says there, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right. There's not only to be a repentance, there's not only to be a turning away from sin, but there is to be a keeping, or that word can signify to guard, or to hedge about with thorns, or even to attend to. And the wicked, they are to attend to obeying all of God's statutes, or in other words, his word. We are to obey God's word. Very simply, to believe on Christ. Not to believe in the church. Not to believe that you're good enough to get to heaven yourself. But to believe on the Son of God. And that's something for all of us to keep in mind, even as believers, that we are to be those who keep and obey and follow after the word of God. I think of what John Psalmist wrote in his hymn where he said, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 15:22 that obedience, or to obey, is better than sacrifice. And you could sacrifice in this world by giving of your time, giving of your money to charitable things. But unless you're saved, unless your sins have been covered, unless you are forgiven, all of those things will avail you nothing in eternity. That is why you need to believe. That is why you need to obey the word of God. Not only to heed the warning which we have just noted, but also to believe and to obey the word of God. Also, there is here an instruction not only to repent, not only to keep, but also there is an instruction here to do. And that word there, do, at the end of verse number 20, or sorry, verse 21, "And do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die." And that little word "do" there can also have the thought of meaning to make or to produce. So after repenting from your sin and obeying the word of God, the individual will produce evidence of salvation in their lives by what's noted here as those things which are lawful and right. Of course, we know the Bible says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And whenever the Lord Jesus saves a life, he changes that life. He transforms that life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And there ought to be that evidence of fruit in our lives as believers. Whenever a sinner comes and trusts in Christ, the Lord makes a change. They're never the same again. So they're not. And they are to do those things which are lawful and good. Of course, you will do that by following God's word and obeying what God has given to us in his word. That's how we please the Lord. That's how we know the will of God, by heeding his word, by obeying his word. Of course, we're not just to be hearers, but we're to be doers of the word of God as well. But is that true of you tonight? Are you a hearer? Are you a doer of the word of God? Are you somebody who has repented? Are you somebody who is obeying and believing the word of God? John Gill, the commentator, said, "As the repentance and turning from sin must be general, so also obedience to the commands of God, both moral and positive. Respect is to be had to all his ordinances, which are all of them to be esteemed as right and lawful, and to be observed. This is bringing forth fruits meet for repentance." I trust that those fruits are seen in your life. And I trust that they will be seen in my life and continue to be seen in my life. That I will be keeping short accounts with the Lord as you, dear brother or sister in Christ, seeking to walk humbly with our God, seeking to walk close to him, seeking to bring that, or to live that life which brings glory and honor to his name. But if you're in here tonight and you're still not saved, you think about these instructions. Oh, that you would repent, that you would turn away from your sin, whatever is hindering or keeping you back from Christ, that you would turn away from it, and that you would believe on the Lord Jesus, and that you would obey his word. But lastly, I want us to think about the pardoning of the sinner. And thank God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. There is pardon to be received. Notice there what it says at the end of verse 21. It says, "And do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die." All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done shall he live. Now what a promise we have here as we bring our message in a moment or two's time to a close, that the Lord promises that he shall surely live and not die. And of course we know that what he means here by death is not that we will perish in a lost eternity in hell. Oh yes, we will have to leave this scene of time. But we know that we will not have to face the second death, which is a lost eternity in the lake of fire. But God promises the sinner tonight that you shall live and not die. And that is because of Christ. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the Lord Jesus, as our Savior, he will give unto us that eternal life. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. And we can depend upon what the Savior has said in his word. And we can depend upon the fact that we can have this pardon and that our sins will not be brought up against us anymore. Why? Because the blood of Christ has dealt with all of our sins, the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and praise God, the sins of the future. They're all under the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Just turn back a few pages, please, to Jeremiah 31, verse 34. Because Ezekiel says here in verse 22, all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And in thinking about the fact that the iniquities, the sins will not be remembered, they will not be brought up against the child of God anymore. Notice what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31, verse 34. And it is those words where he says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, child of God, what a promise that is for us. What a hope that is for us, that God promises to forgive their iniquity. But not only does he promise to forgive, he promises to forget. Isn't that wonderful? To forgive and to forget. And I will remember their sin no more. You see, that's God's choice. That is God's choice, yes. That's, God has decided to do that. He has decided not just to forgive you upon the basis of what Christ has done, but he has also chosen and decided to forget. You know, it's not nice when somebody likes to bring up perhaps your past failures or your past mistakes to convict you. But you know, that's something which the Lord won't do. And you know, even if a fellow brother or sister has fallen, maybe not be like those that would seek to bring it up again to them, to remind them how they've fallen. But may we be like those who would draw alongside them, encourage them, and help them on their way again with the Lord, because we will be following the example of the Lord when he says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Isn't that wonderful? Child of God, rejoice in that. And that promise is also reiterated in the New Testament. For if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8, and the Apostle Paul, we believe, here is writing, and he says in Hebrews chapter 8 in the verse number 12, he says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And he re-emphasizes that in chapter 10, verse 17 as well. And there we have, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, God's promise to forgive and to forget, that the sinner can experience this pardon for their sin in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here what he says in the latter verse of, or the latter words of Ezekiel 18, verse 22. He says, in his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Now, of course, we know that our righteousness is are as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. Isaiah tells us that in Isaiah 64. But Ezekiel here is talking about a righteousness which is not natural to us. A righteousness which the child of God has received and is clothed in. That moment when they put their faith and their trust in Christ. And he says, in his righteousness that he hath done shall he live. And we can say upon the authority of God's word that it is upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he hath done that we shall live. He purchased a righteousness for us which he did not need. A righteousness which you and I need to be able to stand before God, to come into his presence. Thank God tonight is offered to you, sinner. Again in the gospel, oh that you would come to him. Oh that you would be clothed in his righteousness and have that perfect standing before God and before men tonight. And the believing sinner, they receive that righteousness which is not of their own. That righteousness which they could not earn or purchase, but yet is gifted and granted and imputed unto the believing sinner by the merit of Christ. And what a benefit that was that he purchased for us at the cross. We who do not deserve it, but deserve hell, yet thank God tonight as believers we're clothed in his righteousness. Thank God, Christian, your sin, my sins have been pardoned by the blood of Christ. And sinner, backslider, come to Christ. Confess your sin and rest upon what he has done, because it is upon his merit alone that you can be saved, that you can be saved for time and for eternity, that you can have that peace and that joy and that assurance of God's salvation, which only by coming to Christ can give and you can experience for yourself. It is the righteousness of another. It is the righteousness of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, that we can experience this pardon. That since Christ came, since he lived and he died and he was buried and he rose again for our justification, we too will live with him for all eternity as his own peculiar people. Now, we thought at the start of our message tonight about self-examination. Have you carried out that self-examination of your heart? Have you examined where you are, where you stand with the Lord tonight? Oh, I would urge upon you again to do so. Because as Christians, we have no need to fear. For it is well with our souls. We have no need to fear because the Lord will never cast us off. Because we are his people for time and for eternity. His own blood-bought, redeemed people. Bought by the precious blood of our Savior. But sinner, death ought to cause you to fear. You ought to fear the fact that the soul that sinneth it shall die. And if you keep going on in your sin, if you keep going on the journey you're going on, rejecting Christ, if you keep going on living for self and for sin, and God's Spirit strives with you no more, it'll be eternity in hell. And all that you would carry out that self-examination, know that you would seek the Lord tonight and trust in him, whom to know is life eternal. You know, we've thought very briefly tonight about the sinner's need for self-examination. There was the warning. There was the instruction. And praise God, there is the pardon. And may God write his word upon our hearts, and may the Lord bless his word to each and every one of our hearts. And may the Lord give you grace to come. If you haven't come already, come to the Son of God. Come to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able and willing to save you tonight. Amen. Mr. McGee.
Thank you, brother, for that word to your hearts from God's precious book tonight. And as our brother said, if you're not saved, then do come to Christ. Don't put it off. An opportunity has been given. The gospel has been preached. And the Lord stands ready and willing and able to save to the uttermost all who will call upon him. We're going to sing just a couple of verses of our closing hymn, 289. It is that prayer, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And Lord, you bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2 and 5. Verses 1, 2 and 5, standing to sing, and then remaining standing for prayer. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. What wonderful promises in that last verse. The Lord will welcome you tonight, dear sinner. The Lord will pardon you tonight. The Lord will cleanse you tonight. The Lord will relieve you of the guilt and the burden and the shame, yea, even the punishment of your sin, if you will say, O Lamb of God, I come. The preacher has done all he can do. Present the word of God. What are you going to do with the gospel? What are you going to do with the Savior? What are you going to do with the precious blood that was shed? I urge you tonight, if you're not saved, call upon him. There is no other. We're not asking you to come to a church. We're not asking you to join a denomination. We're begging with you tonight to call upon Jesus to save you. That's all that matters tonight. And therefore come, by the Spirit and mercy is pleading. Come now. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt give deciding grace. We thank thee, O Lord, that the iniquity and the wickedness and the sinfulness of man can be forgiven. We thank thee for the work that was done on the cross of Calvary. We rejoice that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And therefore, Lord, no one needs to leave tonight in their sin. No one needs to leave tonight under the wrath of a holy God. No one needs to walk one step closer to hell. But tonight they can call upon the Savior. Oh, give grace, Lord, tonight for the sinner to call. Give grace for the sinner to repent. And, oh, Lord, tonight may there be great joy among the angels in heaven, yea, even in the church on earth, as that name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Bless our dear brother as he would start his ministry in John Knox. And may the Lord be glorified in it. For it's in Jesus' precious and worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen.